Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Welcome, everybody. Episode 335 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. I truly appreciate it. Today, it is Friday, December 15th. Either I'm ahead of myself or way behind myself. Definitely not the Meds talking, that's for sure. I've got two of my co-hosts with me. Wendy, if you haven't seen on our social media, has been having an amazing beer trip, visiting a lot of friends, going to a lot of breweries. I'm sure she'll have a lot to talk about next week. But let's start with Rob. Rob, what are you drinking?
Let's see. I've got Scene Colors from Mad Tree in Cincinnati. This is day 8 of my advent calendar. I have not caught up.
Need to start working on that. Start calling you Nick here pretty soon.
Yes, you're a whole week behind. Dan, what are you drinking?
I'm back with Sun Up White Russian because as long as I can get it on draft, I'm pretty happy. So, hey, Rob's been here 3 weeks now. When are we adding him to the intro?
Next year.
Oh, next year. Okay.
So far.
Like 2 weeks?
Something like that. One, I got to commission it and then it's got to look good. I got to find some better photos of Rob, you know, instead of the blurry focus in, focus out, focus in. So we'll definitely get it done, that's for sure. For myself, I am drinking a regular-ass Dragon's Milk barrel-aged stout, no adjuncts, just your regular stout. And I am washing it down with the $1.79 special that is Labatt Blue Light.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Every single Thursday after I get out of bowling, there's a Speedway gas station right next to my bowling alley. And I go in there and I'm like, oh, you know, I'll probably just buy a soda for myself for the next day. And then I look at the price of soda and look at the price of the tall boys, a Labatt Blue. And I come out, you cans know, of Labatt Blue.
I used to bring that up all the time. Used to be able to get for like $1.06 or $1.09 with the deposit. You could get a Milwaukee's best tall boy. Like, how is that less expensive than water? It doesn't even make sense to me.
You're going to have to bring that up to the Nestle Corporation, most likely, as they'll be able to assist you with that. We are live, of course, on plenty of platforms. That's every Friday, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, Facebook, Twitch, Kick, YouTube, Instagram now. We are live on Instagram. So join us in the chat. Say hi. Oh, we hope to hear from you soon, especially if you are listening to this show on podcast. Of course, you can find the videos on YouTube and Facebook. But with today, we do not have a guest. It is the holiday season, so guests are obviously doing their releases and having parties and events. So it's usually always hard to get guests around this time. So we are going to have a little bit of a conversation, it looks like, between the three of us. Just shooting the shit, I guess you could say. I've got some Am I the Assholes, though. Some really, really good ones that I want to make, you know, go over with you guys. And we're going to start with one, and then we'll kind of go into some other conversations. But this one is more near and dear to me, coming from the industry as a whole. Especially after you see a lot of things on TikTok and Instagram and all these other social medias about people not tipping for their Instacart or not tipping for their DoorDash or Uber Eats. So, am I the asshole for not tipping on an $11 beer? Last night after getting off of work, my girlfriend and I went to a local brewery after we got both off of work. Note, where we live is kind of a hip college town, so it's all microbrew this and local craft that. We each got a flight, which is like a sampler of four little cups. And so you get to try several of the drinks. They're not good in my book already that they make. Total each flight is 12 ounces. So 75% of a pint, give or take. The bartender was nice, but nothing extraordinary service wise happened. We walked up, got ID'd, ordered our drinks, and I paid. And so I didn't really get to talk, get opinions on beers, try whatever. I never expect any of that, but I want to give all the facts here. The total with tax for the two flights was $25. I clicked the no tip option on the little screen. I don't know if anyone saw it and nothing came of it, but it's been nagging me. So I'd really like some opinions regarding if I was in the wrong here. on the one hand, I know tipping is the norm here at Texas USA. On the other hand, surely this place can afford to pay their staff better, right? The cheapest beer was like $8 a pint. Am I the asshole? Rob?
So probably not. Well, okay. So there's a couple of factors here that might lead them to being the asshole. One is that they got two tasting flights. And that's 8 points, which is a bit more than just buying a beer. If you are eating two beers. So it's four times more, in fact. So it is definitely more work for the server. So that factors there. Those prices sound like it might be the type of place. I went to a place in Madison, where the beers were expensive. They weren't quite that expensive, but they were expensive for even for the area. And when I went to tip, they said, oh, we're paid a living wage. We don't do tips, but our tips go to this charity instead. So hitting the no tip button is still the right move because there's credit card fees and all that stuff that get taken out of it. Cash would be a better option in that case, but it's potentially possible that this place in Texas does that. I don't know.
Typically, when you have those types of businesses, like there is a place out in Ypsilanti that just opened up called Best in Games, and it's this massive multi-story multiplex with like indoor go-karts and axe throwing and arcade games, and there's like classic arcade and then like the ticket arcade and laser tag. Like this is this giant venue, and when I went to tip, they said, oh no, we don't do tips, because she literally just ran my card, gave me my receipt, and I was good to go. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I felt bad thinking I wasn't tipping, but here I am, like, you know, they said, oh, we don't accept tips, we get tips. So in this kind of situation, I think a lot of places that do pay their fair wage want to tell you they pay their fair wage, like Bee Nectar does in Ferndale, Michigan. So I don't think there is, you know, I understand giving the benefit of the doubt, but you brought up the reason why for me, like, I'm anti-flight is the fact that a lot of these bartenders need to go and do, you know, eight, because there's two of them, small 3 ounce pours, and then serve them when they might be behind, or there might not be a lot of people there, or a lot of service people there, but a lot of people there. Especially if you go in like a group of like 20 and you're all getting flights, like that poor wait staff that's got to go pour all those small little three ounce pours. Dan, are they the asshole?
So I wanted to touch on this real quick. You're talking about the living wage. I mean, Arizona pays servers minimum wage here. Not any type of bullshit. So that's going to definitely vary state to state. I mean, I would have given them a dollar or two. I usually give a dollar a beer. If I buy a beer, you know, they have to pour it. So maybe not. Really depends. You know, we don't know the situation there. So they could be or they couldn't be. Just kind of like what Rob said. It really does depend.
Texas itself is a $2.13 an hour state, so they get paid, assuming that they're getting paid the bare minimum, $2.13 per hour.
That would be the waiters. That's not the bartenders. Bartenders barely get paid that.
Bartenders usually are a few dollars more, but not there. If from my experience setting up payroll for a lot of different, you know, bars and restaurants and stuff, depending on how the setup is, a lot of times the bartenders are charged at $2.13 an hour because they get tipped out by the wait staff too. So they get an extra tip on tip. And then there are others where like a bartender may make $5 to $6 an hour instead of the $2 because they are managing, you know, the alcohol for the entire venue. Where I see this, this is a, you know, I'm assuming this is just a brewery. They don't talk about food. They don't talk about nothing here. So it's beer only. So I doubt there's really too much in the service part of service. Like it's all bar service. This was, however, 5 years ago pre-COVID. Therefore, it might have been that. But they said they walked up. So I'm guessing they went to the bar to get the draft to then sit down.
So in the end, we're talking about probably $2 that the server is missing out on.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you're the asshole, there's certainly worse things you could have done. And to add on to the flight part of it, they have to wash those glasses, and it takes the same amount of effort to wash those little glasses as it does to wash the pint glasses.
You mean putting them in a dishwasher? Yeah.
And getting them out of the dishwasher and putting them back in the right spot.
Yeah. Or, you know, going through the triple sink process with the rinse and the sani and letting it air dry, because I doubt that they have a full dishwasher there. I'm pretty sure everything's probably just sani rinse and triple sink. For me, I want to expand on this a little bit further, because I disagree with both of you. Dare I might say,
so does the rest of the world, just FYI.
Disagree with both of you?
Disagree with you. I'm sorry.
So the rest of the world, yes, you're putting a lot of proper, like, I am in for paying them a proper wage and putting that 20% into the food, drink price, and just paying them what they should be paid. So I agree there, but we live in this world. Therefore, we have to live in this world of decisions and this world of actions and reactions. We have to play by the rules of the playbook that we've been given. So for me, when I go into typically like a bar or brewery, I too am usually like a dollar and change for the beer for the tip. But when I get into anything more than like $10, if I'm there for more than just a beer, typically then I'm still going to be doing my 20%. I always, and this is just my own personal rules, like I won't do 20% on a lot of things like to-go beer. Like if I'm getting cans of to-go beer, like I might, if they're back in the COVID days, they were delivering it right to my car, like walking up and bringing it to me, and I'm basically treating it like a drive-through in Ohio. Great, sure. But now if I'm going in there, I'm ordering, I'm walking in, you know, I might tip at most 10% for that kind of stuff. But if I'm bringing
hold on. You're tipping when you go in and pick up beer.
Typically,
like getting stuff out of a cooler.
If it's me just going in there, getting the beer and leaving, no. But if it's like, you know, behind the wall, like they're the ones that are grabbing it, then yeah, usually I take the put a little tip in there.
This is exactly how this gets out of hand. I'm sorry, go ahead, continue.
Well, no, the tipping community, the tipping industry.
Community.
when I say that, what I'm referring to is there are times where it's gotten out of hand. Like if you actually do go into any social medias like TikTok or Instagram and you see fun little videos of like a priest giving you a communion wafer and then turning a little phone that has like a tip thing on there to tip the priest, you know, those kinds of things, like that, it's an over exaggeration, but it's very fucking close to reality.
It's tip button suddenly going from 10, 15, 20 to all of a sudden 20, 25, 30.
Yep.
Now, one that is every single restaurant, bar, brewery puts those numbers in there.
Yes.
So that's not Square, Toast, Arrived, etc. doing that. They could have done that before. But I think as the trend moves forward and people are going, but you can always hit other tip. Obviously like this guy, you could hit no tip. I like the places that give you the percentages and cost at the bottom and tells me what 20% is. And then I don't have to worry about the math at all.
The numbers I'm usually dealing with are small enough that doesn't matter, but often those percents are on the tax and all that. And so you get into like, there's a whole philosophy behind what the proper tip should be. I'm happy with not hitting any of the button, hitting the no tip button and throwing a couple bucks over the counter. Like that's perfect.
Doing the cash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always suggest tipping cash. I always have cash on me. When I'm out to bars and breweries, if I'm on like a massive trip or something like that, like I might just want to put everything on my credit card just to make my life easier than carrying cash. But every week when I go to bowling, like I tip in cash. So I pay by card, tip in cash. Every time I go to like a restaurant though, like I always usually tip on card because I'm usually just paying with my card for everything. So I guess it's really super dependent on what it is. For those that don't know, and we talked about it, you might talk maybe 2 years ago on our TikTok, we talked about tipping clawbacks, which is when a bar, restaurant, etc., says, all right, you made $200 in tips, credit card tips, but we get charged 3.5% on that. So I'm taking 3.5%, so $7 of your $200 to pay for the credit card fees that got charged for your tip. So things like that can happen. Again, Dan, I agree with you. It's out of hand and it needs to end, but I don't foresee any way for this to end anytime soon, unless you have a grand idea of how to just be like, we're done.
Why can the rest of the world go without it? I mean, you know, a couple months ago I was in New Zealand. Like, they're like, no one gets tipped. We get paid like $30 an hour. Like, how is that just not possible in the US? It's greed by these companies that know they can get away with putting the wages onto their workers, onto the customers, versus them having to pay it.
So I'm going to give you half credit on that statement. And the reason I say that is that when we were talking 70 years ago, when most restaurants, diners, and stuff were individually owned, they were owned by a small business proprietor that lived in the city, that hired the people in the city, and they relied on those smaller wages to be able to then, you know, keep going, keep their prices competitive versus the other, you know, other restaurants in the area. But now, as we have multiple conglomerates to the point where we have brewery conglomerates, we have fast casual pizza places like Blaze and fast casual Subway and all these different types of fast casual restaurants, fast food restaurants, regular restaurants like your Applebee's and TGI Fridays are still around doing their dollar margaritas on Wednesdays.
Hell yeah.
When you're competing against them, it's hard to compete against them. So businesses like Three Nick Scoreboard in Allen Park might have to rely on lower wages and the ability to put that onus on the guest to be able to tip. I don't know what the history is, though, if the rest of the world did it and got rid of it, though. Do you know that, Dan? Like, did New Zealand at one point?
No idea. Just, you know, same in Europe, too. Every time I've gone there, they're like, number one, no one uses cash anywhere. They get annoyed usually, especially in New Zealand, if you try to use cash, because that was a COVID thing, I guess, that just kind of drove that away.
Well, have you ever used euros, like the paper ones? They don't fit in a wallet.
Well, they don't fit in our wallet. So same right. with the money in New Zealand. They're all different size based on the dollar amount, which is, I guess it's for blind people is why they do
that. Yeah. It makes sense. And that's great, but they're all they don't fit in our wallet.
No, not at all. I forgot what my train of thought was.
Sorry.
But no, it's okay. No, you brought up a good point, but if the rest of the world can do it, we can do it. You know, at the end of the day, you got to figure it out. If you can't pay your employees, you're maybe shouldn't be in business at the end of the day.
I agree with you. And I'm probably part of the problem because I'm the one that both agrees with you and is like, hey, you all need to at least play by the rules right now until the rules change.
I don't mean to cut you off real quick.
I'll go for it.
Popped in my head. When they have you tip before anything's happened, they haven't served you, they haven't made the food. Like, come on. Like, why am I tipping you for ringing up my order?
Okay. for me, when it comes to those types of policies, like, I still, no matter what, I just tip my 20% and go on my way. Like, I don't math it. I don't, you know, there's that meme of the dad that's teaching his son a lesson where he puts the five singles on the table. And every time the server messes up, he removes a single to teach that server a lesson for serving that table in the first place. Like, that's bullshit. Like, there are so many factors that can happen that is not the server's fault. The bartender could have misplaced your ticket, not made your drinks, and, you know, it might have taken extra time. Or the kitchen could have been backed up because a party came in that didn't reserve, so they weren't prepared, so they're trying to catch up. So there's a litany of things that can happen that really aren't affected by the bartender server, but they get the blame for it all. They get the blame for withholding wage. They get the blame for withholding tip. Like, that, and God forbid you go to one of these restaurants and stuff, that if you, you know, somebody dines and dashes on one of these servers and the owner tries to take it out of your paycheck, like
that's still a thing.
Oh, it's 100% illegal too. But people will still try to do it. Or if they don't, you know, if he doesn't want you to, or they try to withhold your check or something like that. There's a lot of shady shit that goes on within the restaurant industry still.
At some point, tipping went from becoming a reward for good service to now it's just expected as part of this person's wages because, well, our food is cheap. Yeah.
I never really went into the, like, for me, here's one thing I want to ask you guys, and I always hark on my friends, coffee drinks. Not even just like poured black coffee, like a latte or a mocha or something that involves espresso, foamed milk, you know, adjuncts, you know, additives, etc. Like, do you guys tip on coffee when you go to a Starbucks or something like that?
I would throw in a buck for something like that. If I know the person has to do extra work, like serious extra work, not the standard, like if I just got a macchiato at Starbucks or something, there is some extra work there, but that's something they do all day long. But if it's, you know, one of the Frappuccino, that one seems to take a lot of extra effort with blenders and, you know, lots of extra time.
Oh, and then you got to clean it after every time. And I used to be a barista, Rob, for like 3 years for different coffee companies. And I was talking to a friend of mine who I used to work with. Dan knows him as the kid. And we were talking about how much money we would have cleared if we had these new technology machines like a Toast point of sale or a Arrive point of sale where you can have the tip right there and people push the button to add the tip. And how much we would have made, because I used to clear like $3 in a 6 hour period working at some of these coffee shops. And it was just annoying as all hell. But for me, even if it's as, you know, simple as pouring me a coffee from their little coffee pot or opening up a bottle of beer, I always seem to tip, you know, $1 or $2 on any of that, just because it just seems like it's the thing that you have to do in this day and age.
If I'm drinking for a while in a place, especially a place I know, then my standard tip is essentially a beer for the staff. So I tip, you know, $5-6 for the staff if I've been, and it doesn't matter how much I've spent or if I got a growler or any of that. If I've been there for a while, usually I know the people after I've been there for a while, but then I'll throw them a beer is what I feel like I'm doing.
When you get into that type of territory, though, where you're staying there for a long period of time, like say you're going to a bar to watch a Lions game and you're committed there for 4 hours, you're locked in that table and that server for 4 hours. You're not turning that table. That server can't make any more money on that table. There are a lot of things to factor in when it comes to that. Again, the resolution is paying them a fair wage, but that I would love to maybe follow up with you, Dan, in a few weeks on this conversation. If you can do some research on some European countries, if they went from tipping to not tipping, and see if how we could implement it into the United States. Because even after all this, and a lot of people agree with you, there is going to be bartenders and servers and stuff who will not want it because they clear so much money on their, you know, specific day, whatever day of the week, working at, you know, Texas Roadhouse, because a 4-person meal at Texas Roadhouse is $75, $15 tip. And that's, you know, if you clear 4 tables in an hour, you're making $60 in tips.
Yeah. The one place I can see people getting mad about it, you know, is like a high end steakhouse. We have a really good steakhouse out here called Steak 44. And like, if you get up and like go to the bathroom, they like take your food and put it aside to make sure it stays good. All kinds of things. Like, it's ridiculous. So I could see someone like that getting mad because, you know, last time I went there was a $300 tab, you know, that we're paying them, giving them $75 on top of it. So them, I could definitely see that getting up to, but I mean, these places like Texas Roadhouse, you know, they could pay a higher wage. You know, if In-N-Out can pay $22 to $25 an hour, and my, you know, that argument out there is like, oh, you're Big Mac will be $15. No, my triple at in and out is like $7. So if places like that can do it, everyone can do it. It's just kind of ridiculous when people use that argument.
They could do it. We don't need quite so many Texas Roadhouses around and Applebee's.
That's true. That's true too.
So that's part of it. There's just so many
the
of them.
The chain casual restaurants like that. I agree. I can't even believe people still go to Applebee's. Like, what do you go there for?
It's cheap.
You know, Walker Hayes says Applebee's on a date night. That's fancy like. I
forgot about that song.
That's one of my go-tos when I tell customers at my job, if they want to ban, like if they're a restaurant, like, oh, you want to probably ban a song like this because it talks about Applebee's and you don't want to promote Applebee's at your restaurant.
I mean, they got that like 3 for $10 or whatever now. I keep seeing the commercial for.
So I think we're not necessarily in agreement here. Some they are the asshole. They're not the asshole. Commentary, but a lot more commentary on the actual tipping part itself.
Yeah, they should have tipped. A lot of that. They should have tipped, and hopefully they will in the future. But it's not a horrible thing.
I mean, a no tip is more of a statement than, you know, even a dollar. Like a dollar, the server will be like, yeah, whatever. They just paid me $1 because they thought it was a drink or something like that.
A quarter shows that you thought about it. That's more of a statement. A no tip means that you could have forgotten, or you just hate those stupid tip buttons on the machine.
That's almost like the movie Waiting with is that Ryan Reynolds, Justin Long, Dane Cook? If you remember Dane Cook,
yeah, he fell off real fast.
He did. He's trying to make a comeback though. Every once in a while, I'll see him on TikTok Live just talking to fans, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're a thing. this is definitely a good one. I've been lucky enough in my life to never have lived with a roommate. So other than like a significant other, but am I the asshole for making my home bar off limits to my roommate? I live with two of my good friends. Let's call them Brad and Paul. Paul is our new roommate this lease because our previous one had a falling out with Brad and was acting controlling and blah, blah, blah. I love living with these fools and we're very close. Recently, though, Brad has been a little too comfortable with my at-home bar. I'm a bartender and really love craft cocktails and all the nerdy stuff about it. I've put a decent amount into liquor, glassware, freezer, decor, etc. Brad did supply the actual bar, physical bar, tap and counter I stand behind, which is why I think he assumes it's okay. Recently, I've noticed Brad likes to make himself a drink or two, and that's totally fine. He Venmos me and everything. However, bro just leaves everything laying on the bar. My tools, liquor, dirty glassware, straws, beer bottles, fruit garnishes, etc. It especially sucks when he has a bunch of people over while I'm at work and I come home to all my glassware just scattered all over the place with drinks still in them and fruit flies everywhere. On top of this, he has like 20 plants in the window next to the bar. And when he tends to get those get the dirt everywhere on the bar and my tools on my fruit, etc., and doesn't clean it up. I've politely told him multiple times to please pick up after yourself, especially since it is all my stuff that he is using. Seems fair, right? Well, dude, bro keeps doing it. So I told him, if you can't respect my property and keep my area clean, then don't go back there. I felt so mean saying that, but I'm so forgiving to everyone in my life. It takes a lot for me to get slightly annoyed. I don't want to be like our old roommate and hate him. I feel like he just needs to pick up. Too long, didn't read. Roommates use all of my bar tools, alcohol, glassware, and doesn't pick up anything left out. Is the roommate an asshole, Dan?
Okay, the roommate or the guy whose bar it is? Make sure I'm understanding.
So the roommate is the one that makes everything dirty and uses the bar, even though he bought the physical bar itself. Okay. He uses all the tools and liquor and makes drinks and then just leaves it spread out throughout the house.
But are we asking if he's the asshole or the guy who wrote the story?
Well, that's, it's supposed to be the guy who wrote the story. So yeah, okay. Is he the asshole for telling him to stop using his bar?
If the roommate who's using it isn't contributing to the liquor and just making a mess, I mean, how hard is it to clean up glasses and not get dirt from like your plants, whatever hippie ass shit he's doing there? Yeah, if you're not contributing to the liquor and can't, you know, wash a few glasses no, he's not the asshole. If he is contributing to the liquor, you just got to have a conversation with him about you need to start doing the damn dishes if you're using them.
So he is contributing. He says that anytime that his roommate uses alcohol, he typically Venmos him money saying, hey, this is for the alcohol I used.
Okay. Like if he does that every time, that's cool. I mean, then yeah, you just need to have a conversation and tell him, look, if you can't clean up your glasses and the mess you make, you can't use it. Simple as that. I don't think he's the asshole for asking for that.
Yeah, I think the big thing was he's upset because it just dirties up the place and he just leaves it dirty for the original poster to clean up.
Yeah, and that's just laziness. You know, you got to kick that guy in the ass and be like, listen, like there's glasses everywhere. Clean it up.
On our Instagram page at draft207 says, just clean up. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about you. Dan's known me for a long time, Rob. And for me, like, even as the party is going, like, I am typically the one running around making sure shit's picked up and cleaned up. And one, I like a clean party. But two, I don't want it to be 3-4 in the morning and I'm picking up beer bottles from all over the random place, like leaving it there. Like, I'm definitely on top of it. It's also the excuse to go say hi to everybody because I'm walking around doing stuff and I'll stop and chit chat and shit. But Rob, is this guy the asshole?
Yeah, you've learned from experience. It sounds like. So the guy making the request is not the asshole. I don't know that he can bar him from using the bar, but it certainly is equipment, because glasses and stuff, that's tools of the trade. All of that equipment is tools of the trade. The guy making it messy, that's a problem. Like, but I'm also wondering how he's storing the stuff that dirt is just randomly falling on it.
Yeah.
That, you know, because there's a lot of stuff, like it should be covered.
All right, let's go back. On top of this, he has like 20 plants in the window next to the bar, and when he tends to those, he gets dirt everywhere on the bar.
And I can understand that. We've got a bunch of house plants in the house, and yeah, dirt gets places, but it gets cleaned up. But he said he was getting it into the fruit and things like that, and I'm just wondering about his methodology. There, if yeah, it's leaving what, this fruit it, uncovered,
yeah, it's not being used. Why is that not put away? Like, yeah. Why is the fruit just on the bar uncovered?
Yeah, the fruit flies are going to be because those plants have flies in them. They need to take care of that too. Like, it sounds like it's, well, I don't know that I'd want to go over there.
This guy's got a jungle. It's probably a bunch of weed plants growing too, which is even funnier.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let's see. They didn't give me a city, like a city state for the original poster, and it is only from 3 months ago, so it might be a you know, there's so many states that it's legal now these days. I mean, not necessarily to grow, but at this point nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't know how much people care, as long as you weren't like selling
Texas
stuff
does
there. Ooh, oh yeah, Texas does. Yeah. Texas does. I had a friend who was on medicinal and had to move to Texas for a job and literally had to quit the job because like the medicinal marijuana was so needed for his like pain and stuff, like pain management. And he's like, I just got to move somewhere else and take a shitty job because I can't be in pain and work. For me, I like to set rules when it comes to when people come over. Like, I'm very, very forthcoming with what you can and can't touch. Typically at my, like when I had my apartment in Detroit, like I had a beer fridge and that was the community fridge. All beer in there is free game. And I always made sure to put my own beer, my own specialty stuff, in there. And then when I had liquor, I would set out the liquor that I wanted everyone to drink, but I would still have my liquor cabinet where people can see. And if they'd ask me, typically I'd probably say yes. But I'm not going to say yes to like some drunk dude, being like, oh, hey, can I open up this really expensive whiskey that you haven't cracked open yet? No, that's just not going to happen.
Well, it was Dan.
It wasn't me, I promise. I was the one that told him I opened was it a Scotty Karate or
yeah, but that was in the community fridge.
Oh no, there was something you had sitting there when I had to go feed the cat one time. I'm like, yeah, I took one drink and poured it down the drain. I didn't like it. You're like, what the fuck?
Still though, like if you're messing up your own place and not cleaning up after yourself, that's just poor manners in the first place, whether it's alcohol related or not.
Oh yeah.
If I got to tell you to pick up shit, like especially like dirty dishes and stuff, like, come on, you're old enough. You're an adult. You've moved out. Like, you know, dishes need to at least go in the sink, for Christ's sake. Like,
yeah,
at least put it somewhere to be cleaned, not just sitting with a half empty, you know, glass of whatever cocktail you made for your friend.
Yeah. That's just sad. That's still children, adult children hanging out.
Better on Draft is made possible thanks to our sponsor, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan. Open Tuesday to Sunday, North Center provides a fun atmosphere with amazing beer. Try their Bobby English while playing shuffleboard, or wash down their classic Reuben sandwich with a glass of painkiller. Find them online at northcenterbrewing.com. Better on Draft is sponsored by Zatuna Liquor. Located on Rochester Road in Rochester Hills, go visit Jack and see why he is known as one of the best beer and bourbon stores in the state. A large variety of singles, wine, booze, and snacks, Zatuna Liquor is your one-stop shop before a party. Better on Draft is sponsored by Craft Tapped. Currently located in 11 states, including Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, Craft Tapped is a monthly subscription that pays for itself after just one visit to your local brewery. Use the code BOD at checkout and receive 15% to any membership, not just for Michigan fans. For Michigan fans, get 50% off your first two pints at each venue you go to, including Better on Draft-sponsored North Center Brewing and 2022 March Draftness winner Copper Hop in St. Clair Shores.
So I think we all agree that the original poster is not the asshole, and the guy he posted about is definitely just needs to grow up and clean up after himself.
Yep, 100%.
All right. This is one that I really want your guys' opinion, because I have such a bad mindset of guilt, like guilt and karma when this happens. Am I the asshole for not alerting a clerk that I think she rung up an item wrong? My friends and I were debating the ethics behind what happened the other night when buying beer. I got a usually pretty expensive 4-pack of local craft beer. As the lady was ringing it up, I told my friend that I'd get his water as well, and I went to pay. I realized the total price was $6 and change for the beer and water. That was way less than it usually is, but then I just paid and left. When telling my other friend about the price, he said I was a scumbag for not pointing out the error and that she probably rang up the beer as one can. My defense was, it's not my job to point out our store pricing errors. And I didn't do anything shady to try to pull the wool over their eyes. We both agree that you should always tell a clerk if they forgot to ring something up, or that's straight up stealing. We defer about if a wrong price gets rung up, if we should notify the cashier. What do you guys think? Am I the asshole and should have said something? Or did the beer gods shine a ray of sunshine on someone who has spent a ton of money on great beer? We're going to start with Rob on this one.
Sure. So I don't think they're the asshole. It's if they noticed it right away and said something right away, then that would probably have been better and they might not have felt so guilty. They're definitely not a scumbag. Like this sort of thing happens all the time where things get rung up wrong. And I remember once we bought a lemon and they rang up a melon, which that one amused me because they're anagrams, but the price was wrong and it was way too high, but we noticed, you know, oh, melon went by. We didn't buy a melon. We hate those. So it happens all the time. How they rang it up as one can instead of a 6-pack is kind of beyond me. Like that shouldn't be, I guess it might happen at like a Total Wine where every time you scan that barcode, they have to say whether it's a can or a 6-pack and they have to hit the right button. So that's some skills. As to whether it's straight up stealing, in the legal definition, I think they would be hard pressed to be charged with or be found guilty of shoplifting in this case. Like it's not like they intentionally did anything wrong. It just kind of happened. Cashier might get in trouble, but that's kind of that.
So for me, I always like, I bring it to the attention if something seems amiss, whether either way. So if I get undercharged or overcharged, because I understand, you know, being in the life of retail, like I don't want this person to get fired for me to save $6 on a 4-pack of beer. I, as much as it may have been their mistake or something like that, like it's their job's not worth my $6. This is, of course, a very niche thing. Like when you go into a grocery store and you're, you know, doing 150, you know, items, like you did your full 2 or 3 weeks worth of grocery shopping. Sure, you're probably not going to notice if something gets misrung or something like that. But when you're going in there and you're buying, like, say, a PS5 and it gets rung up for, instead of $450, it gets rung up for $450.
You run up, ring up a tomato and run out the door at the self checkout.
But would you watch them ring up water in a 6-pack? Like, you'd probably be on your phone or fiddling with your wallet or whatever. Like, you wouldn't care.
That might be the case, but in the same sense, I also feel like, what store is it? Because there is a time where Dan and I, we were at a casino in Arizona and one of our friends got overpaid on a bet, and it was like a $250 overpayment.
Oh, it was worse. He was supposed to get 100 because he had a 5. I think it was high card flush. He had a 5-card flush, but they paid him for a 6. He got a $500 chip, and we were both like, get up. Like, come on, let's go.
That was a time where everyone at the table knew what was happening, saw what happened, except for the dealer and the pit boss, because on a $500 chip, you got to get a call for a payout.
Yeah.
And the pit boss approved it. And I remember I told, like, I think Dan was just standing behind me, because I think it was just Matt and I playing. And I told I told Dan to get Matt up off the table and cash out and start heading to the
immediately. Exit. We walked right to the bar. We're like, just come on.
Yeah. So I think I definitely will probably feel less guilty if it's like a Walmart, even though I'm more worried about the employee than anything. For that, I mean, I guess I'm a hypocrite, which is fine. Dan, what's your thoughts?
So, you know, we don't know how it was in the POS system. They may have rang it up and the POS system has it priced differently. What are you going to do? You know, especially I have to pay attention with the ringing things up anyways. You know, I have an idea of what it's going to cost, you know, what the total is, you know, and maybe there was a sale. I didn't realize if something was off like that. So no, like Rob said, they're not getting arrested. Cops aren't even showing up for that. If they're going to try something like that, definitely not a scumbag. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, get over it. So I have a funny story about this, though. You know, only a couple people know, but I think the statute of limitations has passed. What
are Xbox, we recording this?
Yeah, it's recorded. I don't care if you don't care about this. Xbox Series X and PS5 came out a couple years ago. Pre-ordered them both. The PS5 was coming out first. Ordered it through Amazon. It was out for delivery. All of a sudden they said, sorry, there was an issue with your order, and refunded the card, but the PS5 got delivered.
Oh
yeah. Nothing I did. They were just like, oh, sorry, there was an issue with the order, and refunded it. But I have a PS5 sitting over there. In fact, I kept it in the closet. I didn't even pull it out for 6 months in case they're going to be like, oh yeah, you know, you got to pay for that or send it back. And nothing ever came of it. So I got a PS5 for free. What am I supposed to do? Be like, hey, Amazon, hey, Jeff Bezos, you missing $500?
It wasn't a PS5, but Amazon misdelivered something or other to my house once. It was maybe $200 worth of stuff in a box. Some of it I was actually interested in. Most of it I wasn't. But I contacted them. I said, hey, I got this. I didn't order this. I don't know who ordered this or anything. And they were like, yeah, okay. And on we went. So I had this box of stuff I didn't really want or need.
They didn't ask you to send it back or anything?
No.
No, there are times where Amazon just doesn't bother if they accidentally ship you the wrong thing or something gets delivered to your place.
Get a free PS5.
That shouldn't have happened. You are right, though. The statute of limitations is up. It's only 1 year in Arizona. So no worrying about that. I'm not on top of it, but if I notice something, like, I have to say something. Like, it's just one of those where, like, all right, like, hey, you did this wrong, you know, let's bring this up right. Or, oh, hey, I haven't, you know, they'll be like, oh, that's a sale, you didn't know, congratulations.
Well, that's easy. So yeah, you know, you got a good point. If it's two items, that's easy. If you've got a bunch of stuff, you may not even be paying attention and not notice it till you leave. You know,
no, like I wouldn't have noticed unless it was like such a drastic change in my typical grocery shopping cost. Like if it says it's like $700 for the day, I'd just be like, I don't think that's right. Let's look at this receipt real quick.
I did one of those. Today, my grocery shop was almost $200 more than usual. And then I remembered, oh yeah, there's Christmas presents in here. I don't usually buy those when I'm out grocery shopping.
You go to the gift card and end cap and buy some stuff for the people you don't know what to buy for.
This was Costco, and it's people I'm going to see in person, and they had Lego.
All right.
No Starbucks gift cards for you guys.
That's right. You're getting Lego. I think that's better anyway.
I agree.
We did a Lego party here, and I had a blast doing it. Like, there was like 8 of us, and we were just drinking, listening to music, and building our own little Lego sets. Like, this is something different that I never thought of before. But now it's just like, all right, I kind of want to do it again. I got to build I can't even remember his name though, but it's Mandalorian, and then the Baby Yoda.
This little guy.
Is it his name, the Mandalorian? I have no idea. Never watched it.
The name of the Mandalorian is Mando. I don't know. They might have actually said what his real name is, but everybody calls him Mando. And then Baby Yoda has a Grogu. That's his name. So Baby Yoda does have a name, Grogu. Mandalorian might actually have an actual name, but everybody just calls him Mando for that. All right, we got time for one more. I think it's going to be an easy night tonight. Thank you everybody for listening live. Of course, you can watch us live on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube.
Are we live on X?
We are live on X. Yep.
Sweet. Shout out to Elon. He's probably watching Twitch right now. That's
right. Bats McGee. That's the name right there. Din Djarin. So that's Mando's actual name, but everybody just calls him Mando. Mandalorian's actual name. Thank you, Bats McGee, over on Twitch. Am I the asshole for wanting my brother to leave his wife home from the beer expo? My brother has been with his wife for over 11 years. They live together and have a 3-year-old kid. His wife and I get along fine, but I hate that she is always around and I never get one-on-one time with my brother. When I go to their house, she is always in the living room with us and the kid. I know it's her house too, but I wish she would give us guy time and go to another room when I am over. When he comes to visit my parents and me, he always brings her. You get the point. He's always busy with work, the kid, or her. Before the kid, they always used to go to this beer expo that is held a few times a year. It would be a big group with their friends and me, and it was always fun. Obviously, they haven't gone since they had their kid. I got an email that it's happening again in 3 weeks and sent an email to my brother asking if he wanted to go. He said it sounds fun and he will get back to me. He called me up later and told me that they were in and purchased tickets for the 3 of us. I was pissed. I thought I would just be the 2 of us and assumed his wife would stay home with the kid so he could have a day off. I told him as much. He told me sorry, but him and his wife haven't had a fun day out in forever, and our mother agreed to take their kid for the day and overnight, and they were looking forward to it. He also said this beer expo was always something they would do together, and they have been going together for years, just the 2 of them, before they started inviting the big group. So it's kind of their thing. I told him to forget it and find someone else to take the 3rd ticket. I told him I'm sick of his wife having to be included in everything. He told my mom, and she is telling me to grow up. My brother texted me and told me he found a friend to take the ticket, but he wanted to give me one more chance if I wanted to come or not before he promised it to them. I told him to give it away, and he said fine, and we haven't spoken much since. I just wanted a day one-on-one with my brother without his wife and kid. Is he the asshole? Dan!
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. For what? Hold on. So he didn't want a date with the wife and kid. Was a kid coming to the beer expo? I don't think so. If he wanted it just to be him and his brother, he should have been flat out and told him that. Be like, hey, can it just be the two of us? Because what the hell are you doing? You know, I guess, you know, and coming from someone, I'm not even going to get into that part. Never mind. But yeah, this guy's the asshole. If he wanted it to be just him and his brother, he should have presented it like that. It doesn't sound like he did. This guy knows that his wife also enjoys that. So, you know, it's probably expected that she would want to go too, especially hearing about it, especially if they haven't been out for a while. I don't think it would be that big of a deal. Like, I think this guy's overreacting. He sounds like a child throwing a temper tantrum. Or never mind, I can't say that either. Ken will be slapping my hand later. But yeah, he's the asshole at the end of the day.
Rob.
Yeah, he's the asshole. He's trying to exclude someone rather than set the exact. He should have set the boundaries to, you know, just the people he wants there. And to pick a thing that they were already did together and say, yeah, but she can't come, that's just ridiculous. That is like a whole next level. Yeah. Like, find something else to do with your brother. Take him, go to a bar, watch a game, go to, you know, get a beer bus, do something like that. Just
he literally crosses his arms like, no, I'm not going, like a little kid.
Yeah.
I don't understand this mentality. Like, you just need to be the simplest thing ever, as both of you said, is just to say, hey, I would like to spend time with you. Can we do something together? Because if you go to your, you know, significant other, partner, etc., and say, you know, hey, you know, I want to spend some time with my brother, not even like best, like brother, blood. You know, I want to go to a bar. Let's watch the game. Like, these are the kinds of things that the wife should be understanding, because in the same sense, when she comes to you and says, you know, hey, I want to go hang out with my girlfriends. I haven't seen them in a while since we had the kid. Can you watch the kid tonight? Perfect. Like, those are the things that should happen within those relationships. But we are talking about an event that the husband and wife went to all the time. So it would be kind of hard to invite the guy and not the wife. So I assume the brother probably assumed that he was invited both of them.
So yeah, that you actually just brought up a point I was going to say. If I invited the two of you out somewhere and just invited you, I would totally expect your significant others to be coming if they wanted to. You know, if I said, hey, we're doing this guys thing, that's different. But, you know, inviting you, it's, I feel like most people assume that. Maybe not. Maybe I'm in the minority.
By the way, I'm in on whatever that is.
Whatever we're doing with just the guys or with whatever.
Yeah,
just
the guys. Either way.
But that's something where I don't expect, like with Nick, former host Nick, like if I go and I invite him to something, I half expect either Tara to be there or even him to have to bring one of his two kids or both his kids. Like, he might have stuff to do, but if he wants to hang out with me, I might have to deal with, you know, his two kids as well as him, just to be able to get some time with him. And if you value your time with that person, then you value your time with their significant other, their spawn, exactly, their children. Like, that's just kind of the thing you have to do. I remember, you know, Dan and I, we used to go to local independent wrestling shows all the time here in Detroit. And there was a time where his significant other at the time and his kids came with it. And it was just a great party. Like,
yeah,
I invite Dan. Dan and I do this all the time. But there was a time where, you know, there was plus one or plus three, I guess it would be. And that's perfectly fine. Like, you can't not expect it unless you put in that initial caveat. Like, hey, we are going to the casino. I would just like to go with me and you. It's the same thing with any, not just brother, like family member. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I want to spend time with you, Dad, on Father's Day. You know, you spend your whole life with your wife, just me and you, you know, for a couple hours. Like, I don't.
My high school friends and I regularly get together. And when we first started doing it, we made the decision. It's just us going. And then kind of floated the idea, should we do another one of these outings and invite the spouses? But they didn't go to our high school. None of our wives went to our high school or know each other or us, you know the rest of the group really all that well. So I don't see how they would be interested. And that was pretty much the response from my wife.
We have that. So I have a fantasy football group that we've been doing it for over 20 years. All high school kids, when we first started doing it. And so we have that one day where it's just us. We're just together and we're doing our draft. That's our day. Now, most of the guys with kids bring their kids so all the kids can have fun and play and just be kids for that entire time because it's August. So they're none of them are in school. So we do that, but then we still have times where, you know, there are times where it might just be me. It might just be, you know, me and my fiance. It might be not everyone. Like it's an open invite kind of thing. But again, it's all communication. Mm-hmm. You gotta be communicative to the people that of what you expect. This guy was not open to telling his brother. We have to assume because I would have been like, I keep asking my brother for one-on-one time and he won't do it. That's a whole different story at that point. Like if your brother is refusing to spend one-on-one time with you without the wife or anything like that, there's red flags in that conversation.
Yeah. Either the wife has him under surveillance or the brothers are bad influences.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that, Dan.
Oh, geez. Yeah. That's an offline conversation for another time.
There are times like I'm planning on going to see Dan in a couple months over in Arizona to go watch the Coyotes game. And I told Julian, like, it's just going to be Dan and I, like, you know, if you really wanted to go watch a Red Wings game, which you've never seen the Red Wings play before in Arizona. All right. I guess, you know, maybe you could come, but she's just like, no, I'm going to stay home. And
I mean, the bunk bed behind here is a queen size on the bottom. So it would work.
Enjoy my four. Can I? I'll podcast from the bottom bunk. You could podcast from the top bunk.
Oh yeah,
it'd be great. It'd be like stepbrothers or something.
Yeah.
So I want to finish the show asking both of you guys a fun little question because I just watched a movie. There is a new movie on Netflix. It's starring Ethan Hawke. It is about an end of the world scenario called Leave the World Behind. Kevin Bacon's in there for a hot second. Maharaja Ali's in there. I think Julia Roberts is in there. So it's a decent casted movie, but the ending of the movie, which I'm not going to spoil, really upset me. I had never been so invested. Like the movie's runtime was like,
two hours. Yeah.
And the last, as it cuts to black, you're like, wait, it's over? How is this movie over? I'm assuming, Dan, you watched it and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is there a movie or maybe even a concert that left you so heartbroken because of the way it ended? Maybe they didn't play a specific song. Maybe they cut it too early or they played too much of the new stuff and nobody wants to hear the new stuff. Is there a specific piece of content kind of like the end of Lost? Like everyone got mad at the end of Lost.
It was kind of bad.
I will stand my ground. I will do a bonus episode 335.5 about why the ending of Lost was good. But is
the season before that should have been the ending, but go ahead. Sorry.
Is there a piece of content or a concert that just left you not wanting more, but just really upset? I'm going to go to Dan first. Cause Dan, you go to a lot of shows, you go to, you know, you intake a good amount of content. Is there something that just really like just blew your mind at how dumb it was to end like that?
So I'm going to start this by these concerts weren't dumb overall, but the ending was dumb for both of them. And the second one actually I'm going to talk about was actually, there are more things that were dumb about that. First one being the first time I saw Ministry back in the early 2000s, me and Bone Crusher were there. They didn't do a encore and they didn't play a lot of their big songs. You know, Ministry is an older band. They've been putting out a lot of albums too, but they left out a lot of their hits that a lot of people like to hear. And everyone was like, wait, it's over? Like when the drummer's like, goodbye, we're done. Like everyone was waiting. And they're just like, I was like, oh, okay. The other one, actually, I believe it was last year, a year and a half ago, was the Anthrax tour, their like 40th anniversary tour. They sang one John Bush song, so they cut out the majority of their existence, and they also didn't do an encore. So they basically stuck with everything that was old with a few songs. We're talking like 80s and 90s with a couple of new songs sprinkled in. Those are two very disappointing times. The rest of that concert was great. If you like the Joey Belladonna years, which, you know, they're one of the top thrash metal bands of all time, but you ignored some of your best songs ever when John Bush was the lead singer. So that was kind of disappointing as well.
Rob, what about you?
Well, the first thing that sprung to mind was a concert I went to probably in early 2000, somewhere in the very early 2000s. It's Folk Fest up in Calgary. And it's a huge festival, multi-stage thing, bunch of folk music, which seems to be just about, the parameters of that is quite wide. Anyway, the headliner for that day on the main stage included Chumbawamba, which I was not there for. Yeah. I wasn't there for, but that's great. And so
Chumbawamba was down.
And so that's what the story is. They did not play Tub Thumping.
What? For a one-hit wonder.
And so, of course, everyone was shouting, play Tub Thumping at some point. And their response was, that's the old shit. We're only playing the new shit now. And that's what they were doing. They were playing shit, and it was new. And nobody knew it because it wasn't Tub Thumping.
Well, hold on. Would anybody have known if the shit was new or old in the first place?
No one listens to their other songs. No.
I had the Tub Thumper album, so I would have known most of the songs from that, but... Nothing else hit. And they're in Canada. Like it's all Irish politics that they're singing about in Canada and Western Canada even. So it's not. And then the capstone of it was they were followed by Don McLean, and that was the best part of the concert. He played Starry Starry Night and American Pie and. Like all of his classics. It was great. It was wonderful.
Dan, while you were talking, I looked up because I enjoyed watching Ministry, and I'm like, I wonder if they're coming to town soon. And they're actually coming to Michigan here in March.
Yeah, they're touring again right now. They're still great for as old as Jorgensen's getting. They're a lot of fun still. Definitely check them out.
I've already messaged friends being like, hey, do we want to go see this? So I am excited for sure. With that, for me, there's one that really upset me, and I can't deny, like, everybody talks about How I Met Your Mother and how that show ended.
You always talk about that show.
It was such a great show that I do not want the last 5 minutes of that show, because they were leading up to it in the first place. It wasn't really a shock. It was just a bad ending. But for the ending of Dexter, if anybody watched Dexter, an amazing show that came out, I think it was on Showtime, and the end of Dexter was so annoying that I remember watching it and like I spent so much time watching this just for it to end like this. And we talked about the end of Life at the End of the World or whatever, the new Ethan Hawke show, for 2 hours, countless hours, because this is long form, hour long TV back then, when Dexter would be, probably 20 episodes a season, an hour long an episode, six seasons. Like, you invest a lot of time in that. It was the same with Lost. Lost had the bad issue of culminating with the writer's strike and the change of contracts, where they're like, hey, we know we wanted you to go 8 24-episode seasons. Now we're going to drop it to 6.
I'll tell you what. That's a lot of times, like, with really good shows, I get disappointed that they do 10, 11, 12-episode seasons now. Lost would have been the perfect show to have like a 10 to 12 episode season because show got dragged on.
Well, and it's the shows where they have three seasons worth of content and, you know, it hits really well. And so they say, yeah, quick, we need two more seasons on the end of it. Type of those tend to have very disappointing last seasons.
And God forbid you have like a show you fall in love with on Netflix or streaming and you realize they get canceled and you're like, what do you mean they got canceled? Like,
that's the worst. This,
if you guys aren't watching A Murder at the End of the World, which I believe is on Hulu, it's starring Britt Marling, who is the creator of The OA, which I think is one of the most underrated shows on Netflix ever. Go watch it right now. Or not, because you're going to be disappointed that it got canceled.
Yeah.
It got canceled in the middle of the run. So you're
two shows. I can tell you, Hannibal ending at season three on a cliffhanger and the show Colony ending on season three on a cliffhanger, both getting canceled. They've been trying to get a season four of Hannibal forever and they don't want it. No one wants to do it.
I remember when I started watching Colony to catch up because it's got the same guy from Lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it getting canceled and I said, well, I'm not watching this shit anymore. Like,
it ends on a cliffhanger. It's really disappointing that it didn't continue.
There's so much like good content out there. So I think I want to, we're not going to do the news this week. As kind of like, you know, there's not that much news to talk about. It's the holidays. We'll be back next week with Wendy, who will be able to catch us up on a lot of things and we'll catch up on 2 weeks worth of news. But I want to leave everyone with the opportunity to promote a show that they're watching or a show that they watched that you think a craft beer fan will enjoy. And the first thing I'm going to say is don't go watch Brewery Brothers on Netflix. It is not good. It's got that one German DJ comedian, like Flula
DJ Zima.
Is that his name?
No. You know who that is. Never mind.
I realize what you said after the fact. No.
Yeah.
So it's got the guy from, he's in Pitch Perfect too, but he's like a famous like DJ and comedian from Germany. So don't watch Brewery Brothers, but I think everyone should check out. There is a sci-fi thriller that's kind of in the realm of Battle Royale or Hunger Games called Alice in Borderland. Japanese show. You can watch it in sub or dub. Thank you. Bats McGee is on top of everything today. Fula Borg. So go watch Alice in Borderland if you never watch it. It's two seasons. They're coming out with a third season. I feel like the third season is going to be like the culmination. So unless they ended on a, because they ended season two on a cliffhanger. And if they didn't go into season three, I would have been really pissed off. But is there a piece of content you think the craft beer fan, our content that it is directed towards, might enjoy?
Who are we starting with?
Either of you. I don't care.
Okay. All right. So, you know, it's tough to say craft beer fan. I think anyone sitting back and drinking a couple of beers will enjoy this, craft beer or not. If you haven't watched it, Squid Game, The Challenge, the reality show. Very good. Very entertaining. The way they do a lot of the games on there and even unique games not from the show is really well done. It's 10 episodes, about 45 minutes each, if I remember. Way better than I expected it to be. I was pretty impressed.
I did enjoy Squid Game, the actual show. I don't know much about the reality show, except if you do get onto TikTok, no matter what your algorithm is, it'll start feeding a lot of the players that were on the game show talking about the show. Like the red light, green light episode took like 10 and a half hours to record.
Oh, wow.
Like they had people standing still for like 45 minutes at some points.
I have not seen any of that. There is an episode I haven't watched, which is the making of it. That's on after the finale. I might have to check that out now.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be on the making of it just because there is a lot of like behind the scenes stuff that some of the content people, I'm surprised they were able to do it without any like NDAs and stuff, what they were telling everyone what had happened.
Oh, wow.
Bats McGee on the chat says, if you do watch Brews Brothers on Netflix, Brews Brothers, I shouldn't say the brothers, because
yeah, those are our boys.
Those are nice guys. It helps a lot if you're drinking. Rob, what about you? What's something somebody should watch maybe during this break that you might think they'll enjoy?
I started watching Deadwood because it's pretty decent plane show. Like, finding shows to watch on an airplane is tricky because you don't know who's going to be sitting behind you.
Wait, so what are you normally watching on an airplane? Hold on a second.
Well, okay, so I watched Black Mirror.
Watching Porky's?
Like, I remember before one flight, the new season of Black Mirror dropped, and so I downloaded that. And the first one was the video game fighter one where they inhabit, you know, it's
all VR. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. At least it wasn't the one with the mayor or the governor.
Yeah, the first episode of the first
exactly
season.
Yes, with the pig, right. Right. No, so, yeah, you never really know. And I watched Deadwood, and it is okay for watching on a plane. There's tiny little racy bits, but it's fine. Like, no one's really going to notice. It's not too bad. But I do quite enjoy that show, and they say cocksucker a lot, which I find hilarious. So that one I quite enjoy. Parks and Rec, so that's an older show, and it's a good show set in Indiana, sort of. But the craft beer part of that is there's a whole lot of props from Upland. And it started with, like, there was an Upland bottle of this or that, or an Upland picture of this or that in one of the bar scenes, and Upland saw it and sent them a bunch of props. So that's kind of cool. So then now that you know that, if you haven't seen the show, you can watch for the Upland props.
I feel like that sounds like me when I watched Guns Akimbo starring Daniel Radcliffe, and it had Motor City Brewing Works bottles in there. And I'm I know that brewery. Yeah. Like, I know that. I don't know. Dan, I know you fly a handful of different airliners, but on Delta at one point, I could watch Django Unchained on the flight.
Blood and violence, like, is fine. It's boobs that are, you know,
seem there's to not boobs be allowed in that though.
No,
it's not edited. Just
no. I'm gonna be honest. I never tried to watch it.
You got a 6 year old sitting next to you.
We did watch the movie, and this is a fun little like three actor movie called Fall. Which is about, like, free range climbers who do, you know, climbing, and they wind up climbing this cell tower or radio tower or something like that, and it breaks down and they get stuck at the top. What was the movie? Open Water, I think, is the name of it, where the scuba divers or something like that get stranded, like they get left behind by the boat. It's the exact same kind of premise with Fall, where they're just stuck on the top of a giant radio tower with no service. We watched that, and there's a few scenes in there where, like, you see a very dead person in there, and like hurt dead, like they fell dead. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel like that's something that, you know, I don't want a kid watching around me to right. see.
I forgot about the strip club scene in Deadpool, but I love that movie. And so that came on when I was watching it on the plane once.
Yeah, I don't know if they do too many. So in my job, I actually deal with a lot of airports, and we have to clear a lot of content with them because they don't want things like movies about airport hijacks or airport crashes or anything like that.
Terminal with Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I mean, that's I feel like Terminal is probably the best movie they could probably
work. Yeah.
Probably show. but these other movies, like, they're not going to be able, like Flight 98 or something like that. Like, they're not going to show that kind of stuff. So they're very specific with what they show at the physical airport. So some of the ones I work with, like Oakland, Cleveland, MSY, which is Louis Armstrong, not St. Louis,
Louisiana,
New Orleans. Yeah. So, like, they have a lot of rules and regulations of things that they can't show. And having some of the things on the show, I'm like, well, you can't show an airplane crash, but I could show the end scene of Django Unchained with, like, Jamie Foxx's bare ass as he's getting whipped. Like,
Right. We can watch Showgirls, but we can't watch an airplane watch in the movie.
On the airplane, yeah. Cover your eyes, kid. It's not my job to protect you.
Yeah, there's definitely been a time or two where I'm like, oh, that looks like a good movie. And I started watching it. I'm like, oh, that's not a good movie for me to watch with other people around me not watching it. Like, turn over and be like, oh, what are you watching, sir? Yeah. You should be put on a list, shouldn't you?
At least on, like, if you fly American, you have to watch it on your phone. They don't have a screen, but on Delta, it's just, like, right there.
Yeah,
that's, and you can see several seats back, especially if you're on the opposite side. Yeah.
I haven't flown non-Delta in 5 years. So, those are all the options. And there are days where I message, my buddy's actually a Delta pilot, and I'll be like, how is this movie available to you? And he's like, I don't know, I'm just a goddamn pilot. Folks, Better on Draft 335, thank you so much for joining us. No news tonight, so don't stay on. Don't expect a news segment up on Monday. We will be back, however, next week with Wendy to talk about her shenanigans as she went around and went to a bunch of breweries. For myself, Rob, and Dan, three-letter names, thank you so much for joining us. I truly appreciate it. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.